The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
We're going to be diving into empowering men with digital skills, the event coming up that's being put on by TAT. And joining me is someone who has been in the forefront of building the digital landscape in our country and across the region. Our guest today is Mr. Curly Prescott, who is the CEO of the Telecommunications Authority of Trinidad and Tobago, TAT. With over two decades of leadership experience in both regulatory and operational roles across the Caribbean, including work with TSTT, Flow, and Cable and Wireless, Curly has been instrumental in shaping the way our region connects. He also serves as chair of the Spectrum Management Steering Committee of the Caribbean Telecommunications Union. Try saying that 10 times fast. Beyond his professional achievements, Curly is a proud family man, a soca music lover, and an avid cricket fan. And today he joins us to share his insights on the initiative that is close to TAT's mission, empowering men and women with skills to thrive in this new digital economy. Curly, welcome to the digital world. Anytime we get an opportunity to talk, it is always great. How are you doing, sir?
I am great, Caron. As always, as you said, a pleasure to connect. I'm looking forward to the conversation this afternoon.
Yes, yes. Now, this conversation, again, it's a really important one right now, because we know that not just TNT, but the world right now is going through a major, major transition. And a lot of the skill sets that are required, that are coming on stream, are things that didn't exist a couple of years ago, right? A couple of years ago, you know, when you ask people what they wanted to be, we would have heard the doctors, the lawyers, the engineers, the typical. Now, when you're looking at some of the polls of what people are looking to get into, all of a sudden you're seeing things like YouTubers. You're seeing things like content creators. You're seeing things like podcasters, right? And these now have become viable careers. Heck, there are some YouTubers who are children reviewing toys who are making millions of dollars, right? And our doctors are sitting here like, how is this 10-year-old making money reviewing toys? So we're seeing a major, major shift in the landscape. So this is why, you know, this conversation is really good. So let's start off with, can you tell us about the upcoming event, the Empowering Men with Digital Skills Initiative, and also what inspired it? Because again, this is something that is, you know, every time it comes up every single year, it's refreshing. So what inspired it, and tell us about the event?
All right. In terms of what inspires it, it's really born out of the authority's commitment to promoting inclusive participation in the new digital economy. As you mentioned, there's this new wave of digital jobs, digital careers, money to be made. And this is us, part of our, you know, contribution to ensuring that we could include everybody, as much people as possible, into that new digital economy. So of course, in our world, we talk about the digital divide. And the digital divide speaks to the difference between those who have access to digital and those who don't have access to digital. And we are in the business of bridging that divide. So reducing the number of persons who don't have, and ensuring everyone is on the same level playing field and can participate in that digital economy. The other thing we recognize, and I mean, globally, they normally talk about, you know, they need to expose more young women to ICT and digital careers. But in Trinidad, we kind of have it the other way. In Trinidad, you know, we have the young women excelling and doing really well, winning all the scholarships and so on. And the young men are the ones who are getting kind of left behind. So we felt it was necessary to engage young men, especially in underserved communities, who often lack access to digital training and creative platforms, to expose them to this, to bring this opportunity to them. And most importantly, to create a safe space for them to learn and engage on this. Because of course, when you're in a learning space where there are other girls and so on, sometimes folks tend to be shy. They don't want to demonstrate that they don't know something. They're afraid to ask. They're studying to try and be cool. So the point of this being focused towards men is to create that safe space where men can come, learn, engage, ask questions. You know, don't be afraid of looking stupid, as they would say here in Trinidad, you know. And of course, podcasting offers a powerful tool for self-expression, as you said, for entrepreneurship and for storytelling. So this year, we're focusing on helping our young men level up their voice. So participants can join virtually or at the nearest ICT Access Center to them nationwide. We have 22 nationally on Saturday, the 6th of September from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Now, why do you think that digital empowerment particularly is important for men in today's Caribbean context?
So in the Caribbean, I mean, as you sort of spoke about, touched on it in your introduction, that the jobs and the skills are changing, right? So the jobs that used to be present before, that used to be in demand before, they're starting to go away, right? So this is all about retooling. This is exactly what you were speaking about in your introduction. So many young men face barriers to employment and education, and digital empowerment gives them the tools to create, to communicate, and compete, not just locally, as you said it, globally. It's not just about tech skills. It's about confidence, creativity, and building a future in industries like entertainment, media, broadcasting, and most importantly, digital entrepreneurship.
And that's huge. And I mean, you know, we look at some of the most prolific content creators right now, right? And I absolutely love seeing what these guys are doing, from the guys like who's also going to be on the program, which is Certified Samson, you know, Certified Samson, from just creating skits that has led him to he's in Japan. How do we go from, you know, you're just creating localized, because all of this content is localized Trinidad and Tobago content, right? To be able to go from just creating that localized content and now being able to bring that to the world stage again, I look at that and I'm like, this is really amazing, but it's a sign of the times that we are in, that we can take our local content and we can bring that to the world stage, you know? Now, for you, how do you envision that this program is going to be impacting the communities, especially in those underserved areas?
So, I mean, our target for this particular program would be those men, you know, or young males, we're targeting 15 and older. So basically those guys who would have just written what we used to call CXC, now they call it CSEC, and they're looking at the next step, right? And yes, there are some who will continue to further their studies, which is great. And we encourage that. We support that. We promote furthering your studies. But for those who may not have access to further their studies, they may not have gotten the grades or, you know, the spots to go into Form 6, to go to CAPE, just isn't available for them. What do they do? And this is about giving them another avenue to gain skills, to gain practical podcasting skills, from concept development to marketing and brand management. So we want our inductees, as they would say, to walk away with a clear podcast vision, technical knowledge, and the confidence to launch their own show. The workshop also introduces career paths in media, journalism, and content creation. So to your question about, you know, what we envision that we put these tools in the hands of these young men, you know, of all backgrounds, so they can express their local voice, share community stories, and generate income.
I love it. And, you know, one thing that, you know, as the marketing has started to roll out for the event, I've gotten some questions where people were like, hey, you know, like why podcasting, right? And when I hear that question, I have to tell people, first of all, do you know who the highest content creator or the highest paid content creator is? Mm-hmm. The highest paid content creator is a podcaster by the name of Joe Rogan.
That's right.
And Joe Rogan has signed a $200 million contract because of his podcasting. So this is a perfect event to be doing, because podcasting can really generate some real revenue when done correctly, you know? So when it comes to this upcoming event, who are some of the key partners that are joining you on this mission to prove it, to bring it out? I think we lost you there for a second. I think we... Curly, you back now? I think you're back now?
I'm back.
Okay,
I'm back.
Perfect. Yeah. So with the partners, who are some of the partners that are involved in this initiative and bringing it to the forefront?
So we're lucky to have support from Cantu, Huawei, Tobago Information Technology Limited, TITL or TITL, the Ministry of Public Administration, Artificial Intelligence. You recently added Flow, so thanks to Flow for coming on board. And the Intellectual Property Office, IPO, in the Ministry of Legal Affairs. Each partner contributes a mix of resources, expertise, and outreach to make this event as impactful as possible.
What is the importance of bringing in the Intellectual Property Office into this conversation, into this initiative from your perspective?
Right. I mean, that is such a thought-provoking question because, you know, we want persons to be able to, I guess, own the intellectual property of the content they make. So, you know, as you enter this global sphere, if you do something that's original and starts to take off, what you don't want is some right to take your material and start making money, advertising money off of, you know? So you want to ensure that you have the right mechanisms in place to protect your intellectual property, because whatever you create is your intellectual property. So we want to ensure that that young creator, remember what we started off here, Karan, is about entrepreneurship, right?
Yes.
So if it is, if you're selling mangoes, you had to be able to protect, you can't let somebody just come and take your mangoes and start taking and just giving it away, right? So you had to ensure that your property that you've created, that you've invested time in making, you've used your intellectual capacity to develop. So you want to protect that. So that's why it's important for us to partner with the Intellectual Property Office. So we bring that element of the content creation industry to the fore.
Now, is there any government or regional support for this initiative?
Yeah, absolutely. From the partners that I mentioned, we are the authority, we're the lead organizer of the workshop. But we have strong support from the Ministry of Public Administration and Artificial Intelligence, our line ministry. Further supported by TITL, Tobago Information Technology Limited, and of course the Intellectual Property Office. So the government support is very much there. Senator, the Honorable Dominic Smith, our Minister for Public Administration and Artificial Intelligence, he's endorsed and will deliver the feature address at the opening ceremony on Saturday, underscoring the government's commitment to digital inclusion. And then from a regional perspective, through Cantu's extensive network and membership, we expect participation from across the wider Caribbean, including countries such as Guyana, the Bahamas, and Barbados, further strengthening regional collaboration and impact.
So this is going to be a pretty big regional event. I absolutely love it. Now, talk to us about, you know, what are some of the skills that people are going to be learning in this event? And, you know, how do you envision that these skills could be applied in real life?
Yeah, right. So before I answer that, I wanted to segue. You were talking about how when you ask people what careers they want to be, you know, some years ago be doctors, lawyers, and now it's a YouTuber. I have to confess, my 8-year-old son told me he wants to be a YouTuber.
How did that make you feel? What was your thought process when you got hit with that?
Well, you know, it was interesting. I think my reaction was biased based on the fact that I'm involved in this particular program. So here at work, I'm going to be talking about all the benefits about, you know, content development. And then I come home and my son watches me and says, I want to be a YouTuber. Right? So I had to embrace it. I had to say, well, hey, once it's honest money, you go, bro. You know, I had to say that. I had to acknowledge. But I suspect if I wasn't so deep in this particular process, I may have said, what are you talking about, man? What about being an engineer like your dad, you know? So I have to admit that my reaction would have been honed by being part of this effort.
Yeah. Early, I want to stay on that point for a second, because right now, parents are going through I don't want to call it a crisis, but they're going to an inflection point, right?
Yes.
Where the careers that the kids that the careers that the kids have access to today look very different.
Yes.
And the ways to generate money we have never had this amount of ways to generate revenue for ourselves, mm-hmm. and doing so, you know, legally, cleanly, and again, just so many different aspects. As a parent, what do you tell your friends, your family, the parents that are listening, that when your kids are coming to you with these careers, and the first thought, and I ask this because all of our guests are typically doing something that's not traditional. So I don't really, and if I do bring on somebody that is doing something traditional, there's a digital spin to it, right? And I always ask them, what was the conversation like that you had with your parents? And it's always some of the most amazing responses as to what that conversation was like. You being on the other side of it, what are you telling your friends and family, especially given your role?
yes.
What do you tell them?
No, I think we have to be open-minded. I think the more you resist, you know, you sort of ignite interest, even more interest, you know, that level of rebellion. So I think it's about engaging, being open-minded. You have to be open-minded. And, you know, you have to recognize that if it's done responsibly, it could really open up a great, huge opportunity for your children to earn in this new economy. I mean, you could tell them, no, go traditional, go and be a lawyer. And then in Trinidad, and you're here in Trinidad as a lawyer, and you're fighting up for U.S. currency. Or you could enter digital entrepreneurial role and be in Thailand or Japan, you know, using two examples you cited, and earning foreign currency and able to travel the world and so on. So, you know, you can't be closed-minded. You have to recognize that the world has changed. You don't want them to neglect the fundamentals. You still want them to get those 7-8 CSEC passes. You know, advance as far as you can academically. Do the best that you can there, because that's going to be your safety net. You always need a safety net, right? If that doesn't work out, you could still go and teach. You could still go and practice law and whatever. But by all means, explore this, you know, and you can do it in parallel. I mean, I watch you, Karen. You're not just doing one thing. I hope I'm not getting you in trouble. You're not doing 3M106 FM. You're doing training. You're doing, you know, workshops and so on and so forth. So this could just be one stream of revenue. So you do your 8-to-5 legal work, you draw up your contracts, whatever. And from 6 to 8, you earn some digital income, you know. And it might even help promote your traditional career. So you could use now your digital marketing skills to promote your attorney skills or your medical skills or whatever it is you're doing. So I think there's a lot of value to it, and it's about embracing it and ensuring that you pursue it responsibly.
You're a very perceptive person, and I know you look at the landscape. I always love the banter between you and your brother. I love it. I love it, right? Because I'm like, yo, these two guys could be on the debate team, right? They always, whatever the topic is, between the two of them, they could debate the topic, and you could really get an appreciation for whatever the topic is that they're talking about. You know, but what do you see when you're looking at the changes that are happening right now, right? We're in this period where this is the change from the industrial age all over again. Mm-hmm. When you look at the changes that artificial intelligence is kind of just bringing to the job market, what are some of the things that you are seeing that excite you? And what are some of the things that you are seeing that you would tell people, okay, pay attention to this, be cautious, try to learn more about this? What are some of the things that you are seeing that with this new transition period that we are in?
That's a brilliant question. So, I mean, the way I see it is, and it's something that you talk about a lot, the way we do business in Trinidad has to go through dramatic transformation if you want to remain competitive. And to me, that creates a huge opportunity for those professionals learning the modern skills. So a professional who's very proficient in AI can solve a lot of problems for a lot of organizations, and it's going to be high in demand. So I think it's a great opportunity for those who embrace the technology and could demonstrate that they could achieve business outcomes by leveraging the technology. The other thing that you always talk about is making sure you have the skills for the jobs of tomorrow. If you keep with the skills that were being taught 20, 25 years ago, you may find yourself obsolete, regrettably. So what I would say to that is, it's no different from what happened before with automation and manufacturing. So in manufacturing, before manufacturing, you would have had thousands of people in rooms sewing jerseys and building toys.
Farmers.
Correct.
Picking.
Yeah. You know, planting crops and harvesting crops and all that kind of stuff, you know, making cars. And with automation and so on, yes, those jobs of then may have become obsolete, but it created an opportunity for folks to get different types of skills, you know. So I think that's what it's all about. It's about us recognizing what's the times in which we are in. It's not about what's coming. The times we are in, and preparing ourselves. The way I see it, there's a lot of opportunities for folks who embrace AI, and those who embrace AI and those other type of tools. It's an opportunity to get a competitive edge. So you know, you and your competitor in an industry may be at one level competing, and you're on the same level. And the one that engages AI first and really gets it to achieve business models, their customers are going to see a dramatic improvement in service experience. And you're going to see that improvement in service experience going to be delivered at a far lower cost. So all of a sudden, your competitor who didn't embrace AI is going to be wondering, well, why am I losing customers to him, right? And why is he declaring so much better profits? Yeah, right? And when you're declaring profits and you know you have more to reinvest in your business, you're going to keep pushing further ahead. So I think it's a time of opportunity, of ripe opportunity, and it's a time to really, you know, prepare yourself for the new jobs, the new skills, and being ready to grab those opportunities that are going to be available in the very, very near future, if not in the present. Yeah,
Curly, we are a region that is tech-averse.
Mm-hmm.
If it's one thing that I think probably the biggest pushback I get is, Karen, we don't want all that tech. We don't want all that tech. We don't want all that tech. Curly, we are in a transitionary period, right? When it comes to us having this paradigm shift where we go from being that tech-averse region, what do you think people could start to do to kind of sensitize themselves? And even from a TAT level, right? And I mean, and this kind of plays into what you guys are doing right now. Mm-hmm. You know, what else would you like to see from organizations to help this transition to becoming a bit more tech sensitive and to mm-hmm. tap into these opportunities rather than, hey, that is tech? Nah. We hands off.
Well, I think, you know, our line ministry, public admin, they've started, I think, with that recent launch of their Anansi platform. I think it was a great start because what you start to see is government embracing it and you start to be able to convey tangible benefits. So I think in the discussion you would have had with, you know, Inshan and Charles and so on, they're able to talk about all the calls that used to have to be made into a government office gone. All the people that were in queues having to wait for a service, gone. So I think one, the first step is, you know, when you have an influential entity like government embracing it and demonstrating embracing of it, and in showing tangible benefits, I think that's the right place to start. So persons can more and more start to realize, hey, you know, this thing isn't all bad, you know, because you know many of us know the experience of calling, you know, some service provider, because it could be a bank or whatever. And they tell you, the first recording that comes up is due to the time of the month, you know, you may have an extraordinary long waiting time and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
You know, if AI is done correctly, that's gone. As you call the number, an agent is answering you immediately. And 80% of the calls, the AI agent is going to be resolving it, whether it's a balance or a card has to be reissued. The AI will take care of that. And then the remaining 20%, you're going to have agents available. So you're not in a queue waiting for the next available agent. As the AI realizes, okay, you need human intervention, it pushes it to the human agent, bam, you get immediate service and it's gone. And I think, and of course, with that improve, I just spoke about it. You're going to get an improved service experience for the consumer at a lower cost. So it's really going to be a win for the consumer and a win for the business. So then at some point in time, there's going to be that momentum saying, hey, you know, why not? You know, and what we just have to do is start preparing folks to either do the human agent role, which we have a lot of, or looking at other skills, you know, other analytical roles or whatever it is that we can add value in the industry of tomorrow. But I know we have, you asked me a question about the skills that persons are going to learn. I need to tag way back into that. It's my fault. I mentioned my son.
Don't worry. I think it was needed.
I'll take the blame, you know? So, you know, participants will gain hands-on experience in broadcasting fundamentals, including vocal techniques, equipment setup, content creation, platform selection, marketing, and brand management. And of course, these skills are highly transferable to careers in broadcasting, digital marketing, and so on. Leading the workshop will be the main man himself, Keron Rose, digital strategy, PhD, and host of Entrepreneur. We will guide participants through every stage of launching a podcast, from concept to production and promotion. Joining you will be Jamel Sampson. You gave away that surprise. Wiley known as Certified Sampson. He's a dynamic entertainer and entrepreneur with over 3 million followers across platforms.
My goodness.
Vibrant personality and iconic characters. Ezekiel, Scrooge, Jackson, Brick by Brick. You know, I've made him a household name. And he will share insights on how to craft locally inspired content that resonates with international audiences. And we have one more. We have Nicholas Gaya-Passard, technical officer from the IPO, as I mentioned, Intellectual Property Office, who will speak on protecting creative work through copyrights and trademarks. It's a jam-packed session offering a holistic approach to digital empowerment, combining technical training, creative development, legal protection, and personal branding.
Now, you know, we still think in terms of degrees, certifications, and getting that paperwork. The program, is there opportunities for certification, employment, or entrepreneurship through this program?
So from into the best program, we do offer you a certificate of participation upon successful completion. And of course, you will have the opportunity to take part in the Voice Rises podcast competition. This competition challenges attendees to produce a 3 to 5 minute podcast episode, allowing them to immediately apply what they've learned and, of course, earn prizes if you're, you know, one of the top podcasts that are submitted.
With all of the rooms that you are in, right? You're in a lot of different spaces. You do a lot of different things behind the scenes, right? What are some of the skill sets that you are seeing kind of coming up that people either are looking for and they need? Because I think right now, one of the biggest challenges is, or at least what I'm seeing a lot of is, okay, all these jobs are going away, but then what jobs should we be getting into, right? What are you hearing? What are you seeing? What are some of the skill sets or jobs that you think people should be taking a look at and getting into right now?
Ooh, that's a powerful question. I think the reality is, yes, there's the digital world and the digital experience. And of course, things like content creation is an important area. I think one of the key roles that we see is, of course, as we move into this whole digital world, you know, industries need to secure their digital assets, their digital business, maintain uptime. So a big area of focus that's coming up is cybersecurity, the ability to protect our businesses' assets and so on and so forth. Another critical area as we redesign business processes is business process re-engineering. So again, what we don't want is you take our existing legacy business process and do the exact same process using a digital tool. What you need are folks to come and reimagine the process and say, this is where you're starting. This is the service you want to provide. Now that you have these tools, this is what the process should look like. So you have a lot of business process re-engineers. You have change managers to assist organizations transition from, you know, the organization of today to the organization of tomorrow. Or maybe I should say the organization of yesterday to the organization of today. That's the transition I'm going through. So I think those are some of the roles, the key skills that will be necessary to, you know, in these times. And as I said, after you make these organizations digital, you now need to protect those digital resources. You need to be backing that up. You need to be ensuring that it could recover. And then you even have training. I mean, just training folks to be able to embrace technology. I remember something you used to talk about a lot is bringing your customers on board. You know, how do you get customers to understand to use your digital tools? In other words, you have all these great digital tools, but how do you help customers use the digital tools and get the best out of it? So those are other opportunities, I think, you know, training, and it's going to be training in the schools and training at your customer center of the businesses or whatever. Even it could be online or remote training, even content creation, podcast training. You know, these are the kind of opportunities and skills that folks are looking for in the industry of today.
And I will say this, ladies and gentlemen, that when you are, it doesn't matter what your business is or what field you're in, the content creation, podcasting, these things are universal at this point, because if you are somebody who has a business and you are a courier company, you're creating content, you're showcasing people like Ramps Logistics as a company, as a logistics partner. You wouldn't really think they're going to be creating content, but they do. And guess what? You follow them because when we start thinking about the new types of businesses, right? Asia is becoming, or not becoming, Asia has become one of the key regions for us to tap into, whether it be through manufacturing, whether it be through suppliers. But guess what? Asia's on the other side of the world. How is the products and things going to logistics? Yes. So you have to understand logistics in order to kind of, you know, build your business. So a Ramps Logistics is going to be producing content. And Curly, funny enough, our first interview that we did was 5 years ago when you were in a completely different role, right?
Indeed.
It was during the beginning of COVID when we had the interview. Mm-hmm. And you made a statement then that always stuck with me since then, because it's really, it applies to today. And that is, you were saying that during that point in time, during COVID, you being within the company that you were in, it being infrastructure, because you're dealing with telecoms, you can't afford to shut down. So you are on this highway and you guys have to figure out how to change the engine whilst not slowing down.
Yes.
How relevant is that saying 5 years later?
Oh my God, you caught me there. I didn't remember I said that, but you're so right. You know, I was a little prophetic in that regard. You know, that's what organizations are going through. So it's no longer a COVID thing. It's a reality thing. It's what all organizations are going through. Because I gave the example, if your competitor is transforming and doing it, and you don't do it, you're going to get left behind. Your competitor is going to take off from you. So you're going to have to step up. And I mean, I talk about the competitive space, but even from a government space where there's no competitiveness, you see, but the public expectations are growing, right? Persons are expecting, hey, I can't go into a government revenue office with cash. You know, you're not taking any digital payment and have to start up in a line with 40 people. You know, that's just not how we're going to do business in tomorrow's industry, right? So I think as a whole, government's going to have to do it. They're going to have to be making those changes, as you say, on the highway, changing that engine, changing those spark plugs, changing the battery while on, you know, without slowing down. That's just the world in which we're in today.
We have a lot of people who are seeing the changes that are happening, and they're a bit afraid, they're a bit tense, they don't know what to do. From your perspective, is this a time where people should be afraid, or is this a time period where people should really be rubbing their hands together like, oh, the opportunities?
Yeah.
How should people be feeling right now?
I guess it depends on the seat that you're in. So those who are ready to embrace the technology, there's a whole lot of opportunities. So I see that big time. I guess for those who don't wish to change, who felt that they've done their part and this is, you know, how they're willing to work. You know, this is how they do their work. It's going to be a time of realization, I guess. It's going to be a difficult time. I think, you know, organizations, governments, we all have to think about for those persons, yeah? Because we can't just expect everyone can jump on the train. Now, coming back, you raised it earlier about how do we encourage persons to jump on the train? And that's going to be key. So there's going to need to be a program to, you know, you can't just say, okay, 50% of the persons are willing to change, 50% aren't. You just start, right? You know, you're going to have to try and get as much of the 50% onto the train, right? So you're going to try and convince and encourage and demonstrate to out of the 50 who didn't want to change, at least get 40 of those guys seeing the benefits. And hey, this is good for you too. Because whereas before, you had to be signing, you know, 100 different documents, you could now automate that using digital process, and that same work that you used to do is going to be finished in a fraction of the time, right? And you're going to be able to do 5 other things, you know, and provide so much more value to the organization with the tools. So we're going to have to open up some guys' eyes to that, right? And they're going to see, you know, with this additional things I'm doing now in my day, I could bring more value to the business. And as the business provides more value and grows revenue, I'm going to benefit. So there's that 40% you're going to try and get on the train as well, right? But you have to accept there's going to be a 5 to 10 or 15% who are not going to be reluctant. And I think we as a government and as organizations, you know, do have to have plans to ensure we have some form of transition, some way to, you know, to help these folks as the world is moving ahead of them. Because unfortunately, the rest of the world is moving. The technology is there. The technology is improving. So it's not something we could stop. It's not something we could avoid. And the customers' expectations are growing. So it's just something we're going to have to cater for and ensure we have a plan for. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And you know, and one of the reasons, before I decided to move to Thailand, I had every intention of moving to Colombia. And I had brought my family to Colombia. And I was like, hey, you better soak it all in because you're going to have to come and visit me in Colombia, right? Yes. But I ended up deciding on ultimately moving out to Asia because of just close proximity to China and just being able to see the technology, experience it for myself, touch it, live it. That way I could also be that window to kind of show people, hey, this is what you guys are thinking drones doing deliveries is, you know, is a futuristic thing. No. I just got my coffee. I just got my coffee from Starbucks delivered via drone in China, right? Mm-hmm. It is happening. It is here. Mm-hmm. I have two final questions for you. This is my second to last. Personally, now that you are in the role that you are in, as soon as I saw the announcement, I was like, oh goodness, thank you, right? Because you already know one of our biggest problems, not just in Trinidad, but one of the biggest problems just globally is getting the right people in the right seats to do the right things. With you being in the position that you are in now, what is something that you kind of want to really push now that you are here, now that you're in TAT, and there's a lot of responsibilities in TAT, you know, for you, what is something that you really just want to kind of get off the ground and help use TAT, or not even use TAT, but help guide TAT to really make a big impact, to guide Trinidad and Tobago in the right direction?
Ooh, that's a huge question. I would say that, I mean, the sector that TAT is responsible for, which is the telecom and broadcasting sector, is going, it in and of itself is going through some transformations. And what we want to do is embrace those transformations in a sustainable way that ensures the industry will grow, right? But what we don't want is to have the industry sort of, you know, just wilter away or get eroded away. We want to ensure that the industry can go through the transitions it has to. You know, when you talk on the global space, I guess where you're in Thailand, the norm is a 5G connection. 5G is all over. You know, in Trinidad, we have to transition to 5G. So one of the things we're going to be trying to promote and support the industry to do is to transition to 5G technology, to digital broadcasting, to embrace satellite technology, to, you know, so all of these great technological transformations that's You know, boy, you know, Karen, maybe a week ago, I'd have said, are about to come. Now I'm saying, are here. They are here. And we just want to ensure that we can introduce these technologies and make these opportunities available to the wider public in a way that's sustainable, that ensures that we, the public of Trinidad and Tobago, will get the benefits of it. But the industries in and of itself will grow so that they are now will grow. And part of that would be AI adoption, you know, artificial adoption. Because I use the example of calling a call center and having to wait in queue, right? You know, you had experience all too well about, you know, right? So if we can transform those things where the whole discussion about a call center KPI, about the percentage of calls answered within 45 seconds, that should be a thing of the past. That should be a thing of, hey, just as are done, all calls are answered within 5 seconds by an AI agent. And if not, if the AI can't handle it, by a human agent in 5 seconds. That should just be the way of, that's the way all things should be, you know? In
Absolutely.
Our and then, of course, that can then, that model can then propagate across many other sectors. So, you know, I'm here to support, to facilitate, empower those changes, those transformations in the sector in a way that benefits the public as well as allows the industry to grow.
And you know what you said a lot of really important things there, right? And when I look at the partners that are involved in the program, Flow to RSC to Canto to Tad, everybody has their role to play in that. Because when I was in China in June, it was because of Huawei. Huawei brought me to China, right? And Huawei brought us through the back end. Huawei is really the technological backbone of China. And they brought us into the command centers for the smart cities. They're not, they it's 5G over there too. I went to Mobile World Congress. They're rolling out 6G, right? Mm-hmm. And the technology is the backbone of drones, right? Drone delivery. Well, how does drone delivery work? So we will say things in the Caribbean like, you know, why can't we get some of these things, right? The infrastructure has to be there. China's been, you know, building it. So now that we have the right people in the right places where these things can start to really unfold, we can start to really now start to bring in some of the things that we are seeing, you know, online. My final question for you, Curly, is with this initiative, where can people go to get more information and register for the program?
Right. So I'm going to answer the question, but I just want to tell your listeners, you know, listeners, Karen has taken me way off script. This conversation this evening, we have gone totally off script. I mean, we're now back on script.
It's because it's you, and it's because you have a wealth of knowledge. You're curious. You're ahead of the curve. There's a lot of gems. So I'm trying to pull some gems from you. We get to the script. Yeah, we'll get to the script, right? Well, I try to pull some gems because there's a lot of things that I think coming from you, it hits a lot harder.
Okay. Thanks for that, Karan. So in terms of getting more information, you can go to our website, tatt.org.tt. You know, in that one our website, you'll see a new announcement. You'll see a link to this program, Empowering Men with Digital Skills. I mean, when you click that link, you'll see the flyer and you'll see a link to click here to register. You can go to that link and register for the program. You can obviously call our offices for those who want to give us the traditional call, 675-8288, extension 319. You can also email us at events@tad.org.tt. And most importantly, you can check us out on our socials. We have our social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, X, YouTube, and Instagram. So the flyer is up there. You know, Karen has been posting it as well, so the information is available.
Curly, I'll give you the closing remarks, but I want you to address Trinidad and Tobago. We're going through this. We're going through a completely different time period right now. What would you want to say to Trinidad and Tobago right now to kind of mentally prepare them for the paradigm shift that they need to have in order to finally find success in this new world that is both here, but going through a transition that's going to look very different in the next couple of years?
I think the first words I would say is be calm. We've been here before. This is not the first time, you know, the world is going through these type of industrial changes. I think, you know, I talked about trying to get everybody on board and so on. It's in everyone's interest for this to be a success. So there are going to be no winners if this transformation doesn't happen. You know, we as a country will become uncompetitive if it doesn't. So I say, you know, be calm. You know, let's embrace what's about to come. As we talked about, there are a lot of opportunities going to become available. So let's embrace it. And let's, you know, begin this journey together. I think it's going to be a very exciting future. And we look forward to seeing those benefits come to Trinidad and Tobago. And Trinidad and Tobago being a whole different Trinidad and Tobago in the technology space from 2030.
I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. Curly, always a pleasure every time we get a conversation going with you. Thank you for jumping in and taking time out of your busy schedule to join us here on The Digital World on Freedom 106.5. I look forward to seeing you next week and for us to really, you know, get into this initiative. I think it's going to be amazing. And I think the timing is perfect. So hats off to TAT for leading this initiative and for you getting behind it. And I just want to thank you for doing all the work that you guys are doing over there.
Thank you so much for the kind words, Keron. Thank you so much for participating in the program. Of course, you've been here in this program in prior years. So thank you for your continued support. I think it's important we establish role models for our young men. I think you're the epitome of a role model for our young men of what this career can be. So thank you so much for your continued participation and support. And we look forward to next week being a great success. Thanks again.
Thank you, Curly.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.